In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These first 3 days of Lent, which were as ancient as they are, were added to the liturgy later on, for Lent used to begin with the Sunday. These were added on in order to make a full 40 days of fasting, since the Church never fasts on Sundays. And they're intimately tied together for one theme, which we have considered in past years in the sermons, namely that they speak of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We hear of the fast on Ash Wednesday in the Gospel. Yesterday, in the 8th chapter of St. Matthew, immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, we hear the importance of humble prayer before God. And today, we hear of almsgiving, both in the Epistle, which is from the Old Testament, as every day of Lent, and in the Gospel. This year, however, to continue the theme of the Psalms and making the Lenten pilgrimage with our Lord's illustrious ancestor, King David, we will see another link between these 3 days, Ash Wednesday and then the Friday, and then the Thursday, the Friday, and then even the Saturday now, it will also be tied together. In fact, the chants for today's Mass will be the same tomorrow. We see here now that the Church was, in fact, taking chants that were already to be found in the liturgy and adding them into these days. So today and tomorrow we'll have the same chants of the Mass, and thus we'll have the same psalms which the Church sings in the chants of today's Mass. And the psalms that we highlight today, I will speak especially today of one and then tomorrow of the other. In the introit of the Mass, we have Psalm 29, and in the gradual of the Mass, Psalm 26. I will speak today mostly about Psalm 26, and tomorrow about Psalm 29. These are Psalms of David, and the fathers of the Church, reading these Psalms, explain to us that we are to read these Psalms together. Psalms 26 through 29, in fact, are to be read together as referring to the temple. But interestingly, and many of the fathers point this out, although they are Psalms of David, they are referring to a descendant of David. Now, of course, first of all, we would think of Christ, but the fathers point out, say, no, first of all, these Psalms apply to the life of Hezekiah. You may recall, if you were here yesterday for Mass, that we hear of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a descendant of David. And in fact, we have not gotten to this point yet in the series beginning at Moses, but Hezekiah is a fulfillment of the greatest prophecy we find in the Old Testament. It is the immediate fulfillment. The prophecy of Isaiah to King Achaz, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." This prophecy has an immediate fulfillment in the birth of this son of David, this descendant of David, King Hezekiah, who after a whole series of wicked and idolatrous kings will be a just king. It is clear, though, in the life of King Hezekiah that he falls very far short of being a full accomplishment of the prophecies of the Messiah. No, even his life, although he is a just king, will look forward to a greater and perfect fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. But it is worth noting that these Psalms refer to him as well and to the ailment that he had in his life, as we read yesterday, when he is told by the prophet to take stock of his house, for soon he shall die. And he prays in the middle of his life and is delivered from death, as opposed to his descendant, Christ, who in the middle of his days, as the Church sings during Tenebrae, will be sent to the underworld, but only to rise again. The Psalms are accomplished in King David and in his descendants, especially Hezekiah's. But the theme is always the same, and we must compare them to their fulfillment in Christ. In these Psalms, we find words of persecution. That King David is persecuted, that other just kings will be persecuted, but always with this important proviso that they justly suffer because of their own sins. These Psalms, though, all have a mysterious fulfillment in Christ, because he too will be persecuted. And the persecutions we hear of in the life of King David will be fulfilled in Christ, with the difference being that Christ too will suffer for sin, but for the sins rather of others. The psalm we consider today then is Psalm 26, which is a verse of which forms the gradual of today's Mass. The gradual is what is sung during Mass after the epistle and before the gospel. And gradual refers to steps. It refers to the steps of the temple, and here the steps of the altar. And all these psalms from 26 to 29 refer to the temple. They are psalms of David, so they are written before the temple was actually built. David is here looking forward to the temple, while understanding from these psalms that even the temple that will be built after his time will not be a perfect fulfillment of these psalms. The perfect fulfillment will be the building of the temple that is the body of Christ. And so, to close the sermon, we will read some of the verses of this Psalm 26. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the protector of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to visit in his temple. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek my face. My heart saith to thee, thy face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let thy heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. These words written by David in joyful expectation of the day when a temple would be built are fulfilled perfectly in the building of the temple of Christ. And we were told then yesterday, as it was said to King Hezekiah, set thy house in order. This refers also, as do all these psalms in the moral sense, to the temple of our own souls. All of our souls are called to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so at the beginning of Lent now, we must set them in order by offering that pure sacrifice of which David spoke yesterday. The sacrifice to God is a troubled spirit, a humble and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.